Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pharma Talks. And here I am, your host, Natalia Andreychuk. And today, we are tackling a question that comes up time and time again, and we are dealing with that every day in pharma. So why change something that already works? Pharma companies, as well as their vendors, are building everything on the proven systems, regulated environment. So while the digital transformation is knock to their doors, so they naturally have number of questions. And today, with this rapidly changing landscape with AI and with all our eagerness to disrupt, to transform the place that we are working, we actually sometimes even meeting the bigger risks. And to help us to unpack that, I'm enjoying the moment to introduce you to one of the experts in the field and who firsthand navigated this type of system, and I'm proud to be a colleague of her. Please meet Tara DeBellis. Tara, welcome to our studio, and please tell us a little bit about yourself, about your background and experience in the digital transformation.
Thank you, Natalia. It's great to be on this podcast, and I appreciate the introduction. So my name is Tara DeBellis. I've been with Visavin for about 9 months now. I have over 18 years in the pharma and life sciences industry. My experience is unique in the sense that I have history on the client side, working for pharma, but also on the trusted partner side. So I have two different lenses in which I view objectives and perspectives, and I'm happy to be here to share that with you today.
Absolutely amazing. So, you know, like many pharma companies resist digital transformation. They are fearing disruption and they are fearing to lose their well-established processes. But how can they distinguish between the genuine need and the change for the sake of change? What science would indicate that this is a time for them to evolve? So, Tara, what is your take on this?
This is a great question, and one that I think a lot of clients and partners need to really evaluate, because we're in the age of AI and technology, so that is not a fluid industry and things are always changing. So we don't want to be chasing trends just for the sake of trying to get on the bandwagon. I would say looking at your organizational processes and how decisions flow and how the business flows is of utmost importance. And I think that's where you really need to focus and look for some of the signs that would indicate that there is a potential opportunity for a better way of doing things, become more effective, to yield a larger output, so to speak. And some of the things that I suggest to look for are if there are bottlenecks in your processes currently, right? So that slows things down. It creates frustration for the teams that are involved. When there's a need for personalization or hyper-personalization and you just can't get to where you want to get to, I would say that's another indicator. Just inefficiencies all around, right? And they may look different for each organization. Some of the reasons that I've seen change facilitated, leadership is requesting it, right? So they're coming, these objectives are being shared with the teams from their leaders. Sometimes a system or a process or a technology stack needs to be adopted across the organization. So not just local, so globally. So that may indicate, right, that there could be an efficiency gained from standardizing systems and processes across the entire organization. Sometimes if there's cost-cutting measures, right, within pharma, that's something that people have to deal with, right? It's kind of an unspoken thing that there are going to be changes occurring, annually sometimes, sometimes even more than once a year. So that offers an opportunity to change things, right? And conversely, if there's cost-saving initiatives that are rolled out across the organization, that offers an opportunity to really look at some of the processes and things that you have in place and then do an evaluation if things need to be changed. One of the biggest topics in our industry right now is AI, and I think I think it's even bigger than a buzzword because not only is everybody talking about it, there are clients that have already incorporated it, and there are also clients that are doing things internally to prepare for the future for incorporating AI. So that's also something that companies look at as an opportunity to change to prepare for this or to prepare for adopting AI in their workflows.
Absolutely. So, and we are touching the AI question, so which is absolutely a valid point here, right? So, because whatever changes is happening today, they are touching AI, and they are really focusing on the efficiency we can gain, all of us. Let us take more, hands-on zone for us, for Vizevan, so where we have this experience. Let us take the web systems and web sphere of communication, right? So it's the transformation is happening here, not for the sake of transformation. It's happening because we are, as the client, as patient, have been evolved. Now, before we go anywhere and we prepare ourselves to meet the doctor, so we prepare how? We prepare by asking AI about our problems we are going to discuss. And then, if we are not changing in the pharma sphere, where we need to accommodate the questions and the very compliant and the right information to be indexed by AI, because SEO is just now accompanied and surely be replaced by GEO. So we must have in research in pharma community this change where entire verb content policy must be changed. So instead of having now strictly a professional headline of how we treat some disease or how efficient the medication is, we need to form a sort of question which AI will recognize, will treat, and will read and will give to our patient as the solid information, compliant information to prepare to the visit, right? So we need to be on the, top level of this transformation now. It's too late to decide, is this the transformation on the sake of change, or this is the transformation for the better good of all of us? So it is already happening. We are taking AI very seriously, and this is not only the pilots we are doing, this is already very concrete changes we are implementing in, as an example, in our web strategies, in our any other channel communication strategies, but even in logistics, deliveries, and production. So all of that is certainly a great change. But then I have another good question for you, Tara. So I think another part of the hesitation you have been talking about just a moment ago, so it's because of all this noise about the trends, right? So in your experience, what are the most common misconception about digital transformation in pharma marketing?
That's another great question. And I think something that people often talk about, right? Because we just naturally, I think, resist change, whether it's at work or in our personal lives. I think sometimes people fear change. So I think that's a big, barrier sometimes, just resisting change in general. Maybe the fact that, there's people that think AI will take their jobs. I think that's a very valid concern for people. I've heard, others talk about that. And, it's really about communicating the benefits of incorporating AI and how that would work. And it doesn't replace jobs. I would say it really makes things more efficient. So you can free up time and maybe allocate your time to different initiatives or different business objectives, right? So I think those are two big myths in this industry as it pertains to AI, especially. I think there needs to have a clear strategy and objective defined as well. I think that will align everybody. So everybody's speaking the same language, everyone understands why the change is needed, what the benefits would be. I think awareness helps bring us closer to adoption. So we have to make sure that when we are implementing change in terms of digital transformation, that everybody is aware and on the same page. And it sounds easy when we're speaking about it, but when we're talking about large organizations and teams that are siloed, it becomes challenging, right? The communication does break down and it can evolve and change slightly, right, from the initial objective of the communication to begin with. I also think that I've heard others speak of having to change the way that they work, right? So I think that goes under the change umbrella as well. And in some ways, right, the incorporation of AI will change the way you work, but in a better, more productive way. So I would say some of these are a little bit of misconceptions, right? And they can easily be fixed, so to speak, with the right rollout strategy, the right level of communication, the right partners involved to support and drive that transformation.
That's an amazing answer. So I think I would add a little bit about on misconceptions of those. So where we think about the digital transformation as a change, many of us are thinking about a project or a tool, or like IT project with a tool, which is very similar to efficiency driven automation implementation, something like that. But I would say this one of the biggest myths we have is if we talk about the transformation as a change, it is a continuous change. So it is a continuum. It is not a project. It is a way, an approach we are going to work, because this is something which transform our vision to everything. So how we communicate, how we treat any type of the marketing work, so as a segmentation or just approach to different customers' personas, how we are working about awareness, about our campaigning. And it is beyond any of the projects. It is more than the project. It is a state. When we enter this digital transformation state, which it will be continuous, so it will transform little by little every aspect of digital marketing, so every aspect of marketing we had before. Is we are vendors, and even us, I was talking to my colleagues recently, and I was amused about the answers I receive, because we are all people who are actually talking about the changes. But when we face them, we are amused, because once my colleagues are saying, "Look, the world is shifting. There are so many different changes happening. All of our customers are transforming." So this transformation are forcing us to do something else which we never done before, an extra mile in our job. So to make sure we integrate with the other vendors, to make sure we pilot, experiment, yes, we give AI pilots, we experiment integrating our software with the other vendor's software, which was potentially treated as a competition before. So this is the transformations doing. So, and it impacts not just marketing or for some particular industry, it impacts all of us because all of us are starting to feel that the old ways are no longer working. We need to deliver, like, look, before we have been all fans of 1 hour webinars, right? So we're talking for an hour and seeing like somebody on the other end will be listening and looking at us for entire hour, dedicating their entire hour to listening to us. So today, so we understand that the attention span is like couple of seconds, or if you are lucky, as 1 minute and 30 seconds, right? So, and we need to have really a short videos and deliver really a short message. And then we talk about this transformation and impact of marketing. So there must be somewhere a content generation machine who's generated such universal content despite of the format, so which will be fitted into every customer's attention span. And this is not just a project, this is not a tool, this is a continuous transformation which is happening. So that's an amazing misconception we have, and we experience in living that today, right? And yet we are surrounded by the buzzwords. They're flying around. How can companies make sure they are not just chasing the trend, but actually investing in tools and strategies that drive real efficiency? Tara, what is your take on that?
That's a really good question as well. So I think that companies really need to have a problem in order to look for a solution, right? Instead of doing it backwards, right, and chasing trends, right? Because the trends are ultimately solutions, but you want to make sure they align with what challenges you may be having, at your organization. I think that it's difficult, right? Because when there's things that are buzzing all around you, like you said, and everything is in a state of evolution, optimization, enhancements, it's very hard to break through the noise and try and find what solution would really work and be the most efficient and realistic to consider implementing. And I like what you said previously about a pilot, because I feel that that is the ideal way to trial a solution in a smaller sense, in a smaller population, to see if this really would help solve some of the problems that you're facing. I think often, sometimes we have these big ideas and these huge goals, and we want to change everything. And change really happens one step at a time. And I think when you kind of do things slow and steady, it reaps its benefits in the long run. The crawl, walk, run mentality. And I like using that for just a descriptor in terms of the industry that we're in, right? And I think, just generally speaking, right, we also have to look at really pharma-specific industry trends, because pharma, as we know, is a very regulated industry. So some of the trends that may be in other industries are really not the right solution at the right time for the pharmaceutical industry. So I think looking at trends and learning what's going on in our industry is of utmost important. But I also think there really needs to be a thorough evaluation period in order to assess if this is something that would work for you.
Exactly. So I have a good story about following the trends. We are all following the trends, and we can see that you have today, like any tool you used to have for years now, and you can see this AI sparkle on the top of that, and you are curious, so to try it, to push a button to start, what is it doing? What is it doing? And then you're so upset because it's really doing such, like, not the thing you expected that to do, because you know such a nice stories already. And this is just like, we remember today we're using the worst AI we will be using ever. So it's developing. So all the companies are starting to, insert some intelligence of AI into their human build projects, so which is very cool, and we are not the exclusion of that number. We have tried to do that, and then we have received some content generated by AI. But then we understood that this is, doesn't make any sense, because whenever like trend is to have an easy action, there still needs to be a lot of work on the background. And what a
Oh,
lot of
yes.
work on the background needs, like you need to switch to the knowledge base, you need to follow your modularization project, you need to follow the connection to the approval system, you need to follow the recommendations of the third party systems. So all of this must happen on the background before this magic button will give you the email of your dream, which will be working email. So that's happening. So, and that magic, so what is like the gossip and the myth, it requires a lot of work on the background, and this is not just as easy as anyone thinks, and anyone is starting to say, oh, that's so easy. Just there are a number of disconnected tools right now on the market, which, yes, which are somehow good at something. They can live on the top of OpenAI or whatever, whenever they can have the accommodate whatever LLM they will be using for that. But if they are disconnected from the common human intelligence, so this knowledge base, this previously developed great inheritance, so it very often very lim have something very limited to offer. So it must be accommodating the greater knowledge. And yes, so with the power of all the data, it will bring a lot of use. So that's the takeaway of that. But you're right, change comes with risk, with budget concerns, operational hiccups, and resistance from any sides for any terms. Like, what strategies help companies navigate these challenges without derailing daily operation? Can we learn from the past industry failures and your success stories?
I think so. I mean, I think one, I think there's got to be a willingness to learn, right? Because that's just a really, I think, an ideal approach when we're looking at change in this era. I think understanding where things or some success stories, and also understanding failures. And unfortunately and fortunately, I think the best learnings are from the failures, right? And I think, that's, again, I think a lot of these lessons or these recommendations can translate to all aspects of life, professionally and personally. As far as doing your best, right, to make sure that these changes are implemented in the best way possible, I think the right expectations need to be set with transparency. I am absolutely a fan of not over-promising and under-delivering, because I've seen that play out in life, and it never plays out well. And often partnerships are severed and trust is broken. And that is the foundation of a partnership, trust, right? So we want to set the right expectations and be honest in our timelines, and work with our colleagues and our clients in that way. Effective and open communication is critical for any project, for any implementation, just across the organization. And I think, well, I know it becomes a challenge to have that communication flow when you've got siloed teams that you're working with. Setting an effective roadmap and timeline, right? So again, so everybody understands the expectations that have been laid out, is very important. I often use this acronym because I think it's relevant. The WIFM, W-I-F-M, it's what's in it for me. So if we look at the different teams and business units that we typically work with in our industry and at Visavin, there's different needs from each team, right? Procurement, the IT teams, the omni-channel teams, the digital teams, the marketing teams. So when we're communicating the benefits of our solutions or any solution, we need to communicate in the language that resonates the most with our audience. And there's a different lens for each audience, and there's a different benefit for each audience. So I think we have to ensure that we are effectively communicating through that lens. So, you know, the person or the team on the other side understands, but it also resonates with them, makes them feel comfortable with change, and opens up a little bit more of an opportunity to have an impact. Goes without saying, a solid plan is needed. And there is a lot that is incorporated in a plan. And as you said, Natalia, and I've seen this firsthand many times, the back end of all of this, right? The technology and the AI is fascinating in one sense. And it is a lot of work that goes into the final pretty project and the presentation that everybody sees, right? The back end work for technology, for AI, is a lot of coordination and communication, and you know, there's a lot of prep work before the actual, like even for a pilot's sake, before the actual pilot is even rolled out, right? The pre-pilot work is so critical and so important, and we need to make sure that that's done effectively and as seamlessly as possible. And we need full alignment across the organization, and that includes all the stakeholders. We need their buy-in. And, you know, when we don't have that, problems arise, projects that have started will stop. And that just creates an example of a failure, which we learn from, and we're trying to avoid that. So I think if we bring all these learnings to the table collectively, the output that we yield will be positive.
Excellent answer. Thank you, Tara. So if I would say summary word on all of that about the failures and the hiccups, I would say the following. So even pilots are good, and what we can experiment today with the new technologies, AI, so this co-creation even better. So if we are open to co-create together, so we are about to open a world of the new opportunities. So we need to think about the co-creation and opening the hidden opportunities for all of us. So that would be the good addition to the planned, aligned, and all stakeholders in transformation. So let us bring the co-creation upfront of the adoption, because adoption is good and pilot is good, but co-creation is even better. It will help to build, to strengthen our teams, and it will help just also to build a solid technology. So like we have this experience building together with our customers and for them. So it is the best experience we have imagined. It is something not every in our industry will be ready to do, because there is a lot of time, a lot of investment, but the outcomes are the best, because then you can really understand that you are not building something which you are just pushing and selling. You're building something which is already in a big demand. So this is the approach to solve that problem as well. Well, so that was a nice conversation. So thank you so much for being with us. So we had such a valuable conversation today, and if you know, the one thing is clear, it's that the change in pharma marketing does mean that not breaking what works, but really means building something even stronger together. Thanks so much for
Absolutely.
sharing these insights with you, with us. So, and our listeners, thank you for listening and being with Pharma Talks. And if you like the episode, be sure you subscribe. We can catch up next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalia. My pleasure. It was great to be on here. Thank you.
Thank you, Tara. Bye.